smoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Seems like yesterday, but it was long ago. Jane, it was lovely. She was the queen of my night. Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Continuing the conversation with Pastor Chatfield about President Abraham Lincoln keeping everything together, all the different facets of his life, the things that were happening in the war, the Civil War, his cabinet, all kinds of things that he was struggling and dealing with. Just absolutely amazing. Go ahead, Pastor Chatfield. Pick it up where you left off.
Okay, he had to manage the military. He had this, it was a younger general, George McClellan, who was a good manager of organizer. And he was in the Eastern Theater, but he wouldn't fight. He was so concerned about losing men, he wouldn't fight, and he was often insubordinate to Lincoln, but Lincoln would tolerate him because of his organizational ability. He thought he could do it, but in the end, he had to remove him, and then he tried some other generals, and had to remove them: Pope, Burnside, Hooker. He had to remove them. Then he comes back with McClellan. He couldn't find a general that would fight. He had to fire McClellan twice, and he probably knew that McClellan was angling toward the presidency in 1864. And he did, indeed. McClellan did run for president in 1864, won the Democratic nomination, and basically ran on the platform that if I get elected president, we're going to negotiate an end to this war, with the idea that we'd let the South, the Confederate states, depart. And so, I'll get this. People will say, wait, Lincoln cannot be concerned about politics. It's about preserving the Union, freeing the slaves, don't worry about politics. Look, if you don't win election in 1864, you're not the free, the slaves will not be freed. So politics, morality, military, they're all swirled together here. You know, it's like, again, I'll draw back to today. Well, President Trump shouldn't be concerned about the high price of gas. Well, look, I'm not that concerned. Yeah, I don't like paying high gas prices either, right? Who does? But it's a very small price to pay to make our country much safer by basically almost eliminating or greatly degrading Iran, the world's largest sponsor of terrorism. We are a much safer place today than we would have been a couple of months ago. But President Trump, yeah, he's trying to do things to keep oil prices down and win an election. Well, we don't want boots on the ground. Now, I'll tell you this. We may have to have boots on the ground. Boots on the ground. Everybody use that phraseology. Boots on the ground. Oh, can't have boots on the ground. Listen, I thought about doing a show one of these days about how many boots on the ground do we still have in Japan and in Germany and in Germany. Spain and all over
30,000 in Germany, yeah.
All over the place. Well, why do we have boots on it? So we have some boots on the ground in an island in the Persian Gulf somewhere. I don't know. And I have to trust the judgment of the president. But he does have an eye on politics, just like Lincoln did. You know, and it was when Sherman took Atlanta in 1864, and we go, whoa, the largest city in the South taken. That's when the whole prospects for reelection of Abraham Lincoln turned after that. See, these things are connected. And I have friends that are good people, but they basically are saying, hey, politics should have no place in this. We're just going to do what's right and forget politics. Oh, okay. All right, well, then we're going to lose. That's just the way it is. President Trump's not a dummy. He knows that. He knows that. And you got to cut him some slack. And you say, well, I didn't like this war. Well, who likes war? But study history. Wars are a part of human DNA. We've always had wars. We have to be prepared for war. And we're going to be at war sometimes. Now, besides all this, he had terrible problems in his family. His wife was very, very emotional. Very emotional, almost really mentally ill. And that's just the... and he lost one of his sons during 1862. Willie, his son, died. Mary, his wife, went into a great, great severe depression, was mentally ill. He had struggles in his family, like anybody would. His wife, Mary, would go out there and spend money trying to redecorate the White House that they didn't have and went way over budget. And he tried to rein his own wife in, had a hard time of it. He had one son that had died already, and another son died during the war. That weighed on him. He had to hold his family together. He had to hold the military together. Had to hold his cabinet together. Had to have an eye on politics. Had to hold the Republican Party together. Had to hold the army together. I mean, there were people that did not want him to hire Grant or to make him the Supreme Commander. But he, and by the way, there was jealousies, always has been, always will be, among the higher ranks in the military. They always are. They're, you know, it's just the way it was. General Halleck didn't like Grant and was bad-mouthing behind his back, saying he was drunk. He didn't know anything, didn't do much. And that is the way it is. That is the way it is. That's life. You have to hold, and he did. He held the military together. And when we won the election in 1864, as we were looking to, in a second inaugural, he wanted to let the South back in easy. He did not want to punish the South. But now, as it looked like the war was coming to an end, the radical Republicans, the former abolitionists, they're still abolitionists, they wanted to punish the South. They were what we call, there's a phraseology, waving the red shirt, which became a thing. Even after Lincoln was assassinated, they would wave the red shirt, the bloody shirt, waving the bloody shirt. Oh, look at all the people that died because of the South. They need to be punished. And you had to set up, you had to enforce the law. Johnson and then Grant had, during Reconstruction, had to enforce the law. I've come to this conclusion. I'm not sure Lincoln could have done any better in Reconstruction than Johnson or Grant. What are you going to do? The Southern whites were not ready to treat freed slaves, freedmen, as they were called, as equals. No, they were not going to do it. Now, we had Union troops there until 1877 trying to force the issue and enforce the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. Okay, good. But in the end, it was going to take 80 years before that would change. And I'm not sure Lincoln could have done any better than anybody else at that point. But he held the country together. And as you study Lincoln, you can see that he understood things. He could kind of understand. When it looked like the North was going to win the war, and someone suggested that just let him back in now, and we'll go back to the way it was before the war, and it's not let's let them keep their slaves. You said that before, President Lincoln. Yeah, but he said, I've already issued the Emancipation Proclamation. Then in 1865, we had the 13th Amendment, but Lincoln would not do it. He says, I should be damned for time and eternity if I would go back on my promise that these, especially the black soldiers who had joined, would never go into slavery again. I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing it. And so now the morality says, I'm not doing this. But Lincoln said, if I should ever be known for anything in history, is for this act, the Emancipation Proclamation, and he kept his word. And really, in the end, he took a bullet in the back of the head for it. As you watch the son of Lincoln, he became more and more dependent on prayer. With his family situation, the war situation, generals, everything going on. Listen to this. He said, and he wasn't, like I said, he wasn't a churchgoer much. He started going to church a lot more often. He said, Lincoln said, I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day. And it is, you know, completely true. He could see it when Lee went north and to invade the South. I mean, he got on his knees and prayed about it. He said, when everybody else seemed to be in a panic, I got on my knees and prayed. And there came over me this sense that everything, that God had taken the whole situation into his hands and everything was going to be right. And God was going to lead us through. He said, concerning Gettysburg, in the pinch of the campaign up there, I went to my room one day and I locked the door and got down on my knees before Almighty God and prayed to him mightily for victory at Gettysburg. And he prayed. Now, did God hear his prayer? I think so. What happened on the second day at Gettysburg, the Battle of Little Round Top, Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain and the 20th Maine, how they held out and didn't allow the line to cave in and the Union to be flanked, that could have changed the whole day of battle and all of the Battle of Gettysburg. And what if Lee would have won at Gettysburg? What if there had been an open path for him to march on Washington from up there? Who knows what had, I mean, but Lincoln learned how to pray. And his idea was let the South in easy. There's this new, I've seen it advertised, I haven't watched it, you know, Matt Walsh there with, works with Ben Shapiro. They're having a thing about the Civil War. And they say, well, you've been taught wrong. If you're at our school, Northern Michigan Christian Academy, we're taking applications next year. You aren't taught wrong. Robert E. Lee was a good man. He was doing what he thought was right. Now, but anyway, prayer became important, and I hear the music. I'll summarize at the end.
Absolutely. Final segment of our conversation discussion with Pastor Chatfield about Abraham Lincoln, Civil War, having to deal with everything, and learning how to pray. We're going to talk about that in the final segment. Short break. We'll be right back.
A book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's good words, positive thinking, and daily pep talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the good words book by Rick Randall.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey. pistols, rifles, shotguns. They buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers. They don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY or call 800-654-9659.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of our discussion. And in this short segment, Pastor Chatfield, I want to ask you to do a homework assignment for us for next Friday.
Okay.
Are you willing to do that for us?
I am. Tell me.
Okay.
Tell me
I'm going to task you with spending the next hour, next Friday from 10 to 11, the short five-minute segment, I want you to tee it up and explain the consciousness, the frame of mind an individual must be in order to pray. And then when we come back from the break, we have 15 minutes. I want you to then get into, in the Bible, and in the reasoning behind praying to God and to have your prayers heard and answered in his time frame, not ours, but his. I want you to spend the hour next Friday teaching this audience how to pray. Because like you said numerous times, I was listening to you monologue, just sitting there listening to you kept saying, Abraham Lincoln learned how to pray. Learning how to pray is actually a thing, right?
Right, right. Let me just say, coincidentally, let me read you something. It's about prayer. At the 74th Annual National Prayer Breakfast in early February 2026, President Trump announced that May 17th, 2026 will be a day of rededicate America as one nation under God. He plans to hold a major event on a national mall focused on prayer, gratitude, and a spirit revival in the country. There's some of us, one, we're doing an all-day prayer meeting on May 15th via a telephone conference call. Bunch of independent Baptists all across the country. And here in Michigan, on Sunday, May 17th, because the president called for that, we're trying to get a prayer meeting, a church service on at every county seat in the state. So I'm, Lord willing, my plan is to be up there in Sheboygan, and we're going to have a service sometime on Sunday afternoon, May 17th, praying for our country, because the president has called for that. And by the way, you hold it together. Look, back to history quickly. I mean, Lincoln arrested some Maryland legislators in jail, didn't charge him, didn't get him habeas corpus, and did not release him because he would not let Maryland secede from the Union. Whoa, unconstitutional. The Supreme Court said release them. Lincoln ignored them. I'm not going to let Maryland. Well, so some of the more ideological, you know, people, even in our parties, well, you can't do that. Was it unconstitutional? Well, yeah, but we were in a war, in a state of rebellion. You had to do what you had to do. You stick with the president. Don't people understand that? Because this breaking apart of things, all these people think they're so smart, drives me crazy. Well, you know, like all of a sudden Tucker Carlson has become some great theologian.
Yeah,
as if he,
right.
He does. Oh, give me a break.
But
he has a big audience and he's got a big microphone, and people believe that. No, I'm going to stick with the president of the United States. Do I agree with everything? No, but I'm going to support him. That's necessary, everybody. I don't worship Absolutely. Him, of course not. I worship the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're going to stick with the president. Stick with it, just like Marco Rubio is doing.
Well, and one other note to your history lesson today. You and I are good friends and know Mark Gurley, who
yes.
was his great, 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 great grandfather.
He was a pastor that preached to Lincoln. Lincoln became not an official member of his Presbyterian church in Washington, D.C., but a regular attender.
Well, to hear Mark explain it through the history of his family tree, he said that he was actually the prayer coach for Abraham Lincoln, and that whenever okay. Abraham Lincoln was in dire straits, he would literally get up out of the Oval Office and literally walk to the church and go in and sit down in the church and pray with Pastor Gurley, Mark Gurley's great, 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 great grandfather. And he said there was times when his grandfather, great grandfather, whatever the number is, couldn't be available. And the president, Abraham Lincoln, would just sit in his church by himself and then Amen. Get up and walk back to the Oval Office.
Yes, prayer matters. And in the end, that's what, sometimes you don't know what else to do. You got to do some things, of course. But pray for the president. And the Bible commands us, 1 Timothy chapter 2, to pray for those in authority over us. We're praying for him.
Amen.
Pray that he'd be wise. He is the president. And think of the alternative where we could be at. No, I'm going to pray for the president. I'm going to stick with him.
There. Yeah,
I'm
Amen.
Sticking with him.
Yep. Well, again, I hope you can take the time to sit down. I want you to teach the whole hour of next Friday, the steps of how to pray and what you have to do and the mindset and all of it. Greatly appreciate it. Good conversation. Thank you, sir.
Will do. Yeah. God bless you, Randy.
God bless you. Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat
and terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
97.7 FM, WCHY, Sheboygan.
Your current time is 11 o'clock.
This is Michigan News Source, Michigan.